I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Very excited to welcome a good friend, Paul Yao. He's the CEO of Union Square Travel Agency. Paul, great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Yes. So, Paul, first off, thank you for taking the time. I know you've been like super crazy, super busy. Congratulations. You guys just launched the third social equity dispensary in New York. We've been waiting for this for a really long time. So I really appreciate you kind of finding the time to come on the show. And we've got a lot to talk about. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, it's been a crazy, you know, since September, October. So what's that? A crazy 5 months.
Yeah.
Just from kind of go to woe.
Exactly. So, you know, Paul, just for everybody who's listening in right now, and they might not know if they're not in New York, but quick background to everybody, you know, Union Square Travel Agency is a cannabis retail dispensary. It's in New York. They opened up a few weeks ago. You know, as everybody's been reading, you know, there's been kind of the first few dispensaries that have a social equity license, and USTA is one of them. And so they're really passionate about not only supporting women and BIPOC-owned cannabis companies, but also, you know, really helping to build generational wealth in communities of color. So, you know, Paul, you have a very interesting background. You and I have worked together in the past, but, you know, I know you as a finance guy. And, you know, now you're the CEO of Union Square Travel Agency. You're also the co-founder of Harbor Community, you know, in conjunction with the Doe Fund. So tell us, how did the whole cannabis angle come into play from a finance guy?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I was a long-term time finance guy, banking and private equity. I think my first foray, maybe not into cannabis, but into the entrepreneurial field, was I actually co-founded a startup in the health and wellness space years ago. And that kind of got me into that whole startup growth equity space. You know, and fast forward a number of years, after that, I was doing consulting in that space, and I ended up joining a venture firm. And when I was at that venture firm, we made an investment into ArcView, the private investment network for cannabis.
Yep.
And through that experience, I worked with the team at ArcView. I helped them build out their asset management and broker-dealer businesses. And then, you know, they contacted me kind of a couple years later, and they had made an investment into a Massachusetts vertically integrated company. And they'd asked if I would consult to them. And so that's how I got more involved in cannabis at the operational level, being a CFO consultant to this Massachusetts company, which I did for a good 18 months or so. And then New York legalized, and you know, we saw the opportunity to try to do something, you know, at home, and that was, you know, really exciting to us. And the way we kind of got involved with the Doe Fund is, you know, Harbor Community was an idea which really just spawned out of the pandemic. You know, sitting around out on the East End with, you know, not that much to do, we got started talking with one of my neighbors, who's a, you know, serial entrepreneur, and he put me in touch with our other partner, Arena Hankin Biggers, and the three of us decided, like, yeah, like let's try to go for a license, and we started speaking to a number of not-for-profits, including the Doe Fund, because we thought that would just be, you know, we're very socially minded, and we thought it would be a great partnership to form in pursuit of a license. And then, you know, when New York State came out with the most progressive, you know, legislation for cannabis licenses, we had an opportunity to, you know, make the Doe Fund's involvement much greater. And we said to them, do you want to get more involved in a much more meaningful way? And, you know, they were a little trepidatious just due to the illegality federally of cannabis, but they saw the tremendous opportunity in their, you know, they were very brave and courageous to take that step with us.
I love it. That's so great. And also, I mean, so great on the part of you guys for really saying, hey, let's do it. And you almost like thought of it, got it done in like record time. So, Paul, you know, I think the one of the things that really stuck out for me, and by the way, congrats to on like the PR angle, because you guys have been all over the news, on TV, all the local markets have been covering it. And I've seen some of the footage of people lining up like block after block after block to come into the store. So how was it one, opening night, and how has it been since opening night? Like, has there been a steady stream? What is the cross section of these consumers that are coming in? Like, are they kind of curious? Have they tried it before? Are they, you know, talk to us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So opening night was kind of crazy. You just don't realize you have that many family and friends until they all turn up. Exactly. So it was great. And since then, it's been a steady stream. And as you kind of expect, you see the cyclicality during the week, during the day, you know, times when people like to shop at lunchtime after work. And, you know, as you'd expect, there's very big, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sundays as people go into the weekend. We are beginning to see some of the same people. The retention's been higher than I would have thought. You know, I think that what we're seeing a lot of is, you know, when you look at what's selling, you know, there's a lot of flower, pre-rolls, vapes. So you kind of think that's what I consider the audience of kind of more traditional consumers. Mm-hmm. I think because New York is new from a legal sense, it's still developing and opening up to that kind of curious audience. And so whilst they're obviously there, I actually do think that there's tremendous upside still to come from that market. So we're terribly excited from that side of things as well.
Cool. And so, you know, as far as driving, you know, customers into the store, I guess, you know, local, obviously, but also out of towners, like, how are you guys doing that?
So we're doing a bunch of things. You know, we're working, you know, with Philo and Programmatic. We're doing SEO, we're doing SEM, we're doing, you know, a lot of PR. Mm-hmm. We're doing some out of home. We're about to do, you know, we're doing some celebrity influencer. You know, so we're really, you know, looking at kind of a bunch of options and seeing what sticks. At this stage, there's a lot of awareness. A lot of people don't know us. You know, we're just new. And there's only three legal stores in New York City. So you know, awareness is huge, just trying to build that community.
So that's a perfect segue, because I've seen these guys all over the place. There's all these illegal markets. And, you know, I think it's creating a pretty large issue because, one, you know, it's now legal in New York, and it's like they don't really have an enforcement policy in place. But that is as we're going to start to see more and more dispensaries. And obviously, the news just hit yesterday that the state is now doubling the licenses to 300. There's got to be something that is going to be able to take out these not real, you know, bootleg stores and do this the right way. Have you guys seen have you seen any policing? Have you heard of, like, what are you seeing out there on the streets? Because obviously it's like, if I'm going to open up a store that has legitimate product that's, you know, tracked and traced, and then there's another store down the street that's selling it illegally, it's not very fair, right? You're doing it the right way. They're doing it, you know, not the right way.
Yeah, I think that kind of yes to everything. Like, I think the combination of the increase in the number of justice-involved licenses which are going to be granted, you know, I'm actually really supportive of that. I actually think that the greater number of legal stores which are out there legitimizes the legal state of the market. And there is just, you know, New York loves weed. Like, there's insatiable demand, which is why there's all the illicit stores. But so I think that, you know, having more legal stores, it's great for everyone. And then from the enforcement side of things, I know that the state's trying to pass through some legislation currently, which is going to give, you know, the enforcement officers more teeth with regard to, you know, engaging with illicit stores. So I think the combination of that, and there's also coming the state is about to launch, you know, a campaign about promoting, you know, the benefits of legal cannabis. So the combination of all of these things, increased stores, I just think it's great for the industry. You know, people think, you know, aren't you worried about competition? You know, we're first mover advantage. We've got a great location, but I think it's just great for the industry. Like, there's enough to go around for everyone. So, you know, terribly, you know, supportive of that. With regard to current enforcement, you know, the state is enforcing, you know, they're trying to protect their tax revenue. But I think that, you know, they're only getting tax revenue from, what, three stores in a city and one outside the city. Right. So, you know, they're selectively enforcing. They're trying to enforce around probably where the tax base is right now, and albeit it's quite small.
Totally. So, Paul, you know, obviously from, you know, being in the space now for a few years and, you know, working with some of the kind of giant MSOs across the country, they're all always thinking about, okay, we've got this footprint of 20, 30, 50, 100 stores across the country, how do we create this really, you know, memorable customer experience as people come through our stores? And obviously, as people start to shop more and, you know, get more used to how an operation with budtenders and technology works, they kind of want to have that unique customer experience and journey. Talk to us a little bit about how you guys are creating that, you know, engaging experiences within your current store and how people have reacted.
Yeah, so I think what we're trying to bring to the customer from a customer experience is, you know, we're not an MSO, we're a small independent store, you know, in partnership, and, well, you know, with the Doe Fund, which is a not-for-profit. So we're trying to educate people on the benefits that majority of the proceeds or the profits from the purchases goes to the Doe Fund, which is a not-for-profit, which is supported, you know, mostly black and brown men, formerly incarcerated, homeless, for the past 30 years. So it's a really amazing cause, and we, you know, want to educate people on the awareness and good of their shopping at our store, but in combination with amazing customer experience and budtender education. Our head of retail, Mike Conway, was formerly the GM in charge of all the New Jersey Ascend stores. And before that, he'd worked in Mass, and he'd worked at Curaleaf in New York on the medical side. So we actually bring a lot of the efficiencies and learnings from kind of MSO life, but combine it with a very unique New York not-for-profit background and experience. So we kind of think this combination of it makes it uniquely New York, but we don't compromise on efficiency and customer experience or budtender training. So when we launched, we did, you know, over 40 hours of budtender training, classroom style, with our budtenders, our 51 budtenders, to educate them so that they feel really confident, you know, to engage with customers. And we did a bunch of brand activation training with them so that budtenders could really confidently talk about their products. And I think, you know, customers feel and see that when they impact with, engage with our budtenders.
Awesome. Talk to us about some of the products, right? Obviously, people have been exposed to different states, have seen different brands, different products. New York is a little different, right? You need to use product from within the state. You know, talk to us about the range of, you know, flower, vapes. Like, are people coming in and looking for certain things for sleep? Are they looking for things just for experiences? Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So, you know, I was looking at the most sold products recently, and, you know, certainly top three, four, no surprises, sleep products, like sleep gummies, things, you know, products with CBN, together with THC. There's huge demand for that. There's also a lot of demand for people who, you know, who are quite selective, and, you know, they know what they want. They want like a sativa pre-roll. They want, you know, they have certain things like what's good for anxiety. You know, they have specific use cases which they want to address, which is good. Like, it just shows the inherent kind of sophistication of some of the New York clientele. But with regard to the brands we have, you know, it is new. There are new brands. There's not, you know, initially when we opened, there weren't many nationally recognized brands in our store. And what we're really trying to promote is, you know, BIPOC and LGBTQ owned brands. And, you know, there's just not that many of them. So we're trying to be supportive where we can of those brands to really promote them, because, you know, we want diversity in this sector in the state. We think it's kind of good. It kind of reflects what we are as a team and a brand and our kind of, you know, key tenants. But we're also seeing more national brands come in. So I think in the next 30 to 45 days, you know, things like Jetty, Rose, you know, Kiva are all coming to New York. 1906.
Amazing. Oh, 1906. That's a fantastic brand. Have you tried their products yet?
I have. I love their products.
They're so great. You know, the reason I really like those products is because some of them are low dose, but the way that they've really kind of categorized and branded them, they're just really cool. You know, like, they've got one for like brain power, one for sleep, one for sex, one for, you know, there's just all these different cool, like, they got the marketing element.
They totally have.
Yeah, I've definitely enjoyed their products, and I actually really love the Kiva products too. So I'm excited that you guys are going to be carrying those. And I know I'm seeing you on Monday, so I haven't been to the store yet. I definitely want to swing by.
Oh, you should come in. You should come in before we go out.
I know. I couldn't make the friends and family just because of, again, travel. I'm like on the road 24/7 these days, but I'm really excited to check it out. So talk to us a little bit about expansion. Like, obviously, once you get this store under your belt and, you know, have ironed everything out, is there, you know, already, are you guys already thinking about, you know, future expansion, or is it too soon?
No, we are. So, you know, the store we actually opened is the smaller of two spaces that we actually have. So our store is on Broadway and 13th Street, just one block south of Union Square. So we're like highly proximate to, you know, kind of everyone in New York City. So mm-hmm. we're a block from the subway where there's over 30 million passengers a year. So we're in the smaller space, and right now we've actually got a construction fence around our larger space, which we commenced demolition of this week. So we, you know, hopefully expect to open that bigger store in May or June this year. And so that's going to be really exciting. It's going to be a larger space. It's going to be much more experiential as well. We're going to stick to the kind of ethos of trying to get people through quickly so that, you know, people aren't waiting for long times in queues. But it's going to be an amazing experience for people. And it's got that corner real estate where you can see from the park. So we're super pumped about that. And we're going to retain the pop-up space as well. So we think the pop-up space will be great for, you know, delivery or pre-orders. And maybe we can do some events there.
That's awesome. Now, Paul, I know that you guys definitely started to, you know, use a number of screens in the store. Like, what is the use case for that? Are you just showing product on it? Are people able to check out? Are they able to learn more? Like, what is the implementation that you guys have been using?
Yeah, so we have these screens in there, which are the Philo screens, and the consumers love them because it's like having a giant touchable TV. And so we have our menus on there. We also have the ability, you know, for people to join, you know, the mile, you know, our loyalty club. And there's just there's a tremendous amount of engagement on there, and there's a way to educate the consumers. So, you know, education we think is key, especially for a new industry. You know, a lot of people are well versed in it, but there's still a lot of newbies. So those screens are great just to engage with the consumers. They can order off them, and then they just come out and check out. So, you know, we hear a lot of really positive feedback from the consumers on the screens.
I love it. Well, listen, I'm proud of you for launching so fast, and it's been really great to see what you guys have done in record time, and you know, congratulations on being the third out of everybody in New York. I think that's a pretty large thing to hang your hat on.
Thank you.
Paul, before we go, I just wanted to, you know, ask you a couple of questions outside of cannabis to get to know you better.
Yeah.
Kind of like quick fire questions. So first question for you, what are you watching on TV right now?
So I am watching, like, I feel like I've exhausted everything, but I'm watching Outer Banks. Which I don't know whether that's cringeworthy or not, but I am.
Outer Banks.
Yeah, it's like a, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's kind of set in the Outer Banks of North Carolina and Bahamas. It's kind of light entertainment.
Okay, I haven't heard of that, but I'm always, you know, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I definitely, like, when I do, I want to, you know, binge on a few things. Did you happen to see the Netflix, the series that came out on the murders, which obviously he just was convicted yesterday.
It
was
guilty. No, I had friends telling me about it, and I kind of feel like because the verdict has come out, I just don't know if I miss that opportunity. I feel like I needed to watch it before.
I feel like there's been so much coverage on TV of the actual case that, like, if I watch the Netflix series, I'm going to already know, like, everything that's happened in real life, you know? Crazy. What is this world coming to these days? So, Paul, you're on the East End, so you kind of get the quietness of Eastern Long Island, but then you're in the city all the time. When it comes to food, what's your favorite food, and maybe what are some of your favorite restaurants in New York?
Oh, great question. So I would consider myself, you know, big food and wine person. You know, living out here on the North Fork, we have, you know, amazing, you know, fresh seafood. I love the North Fork Table Inn table in and out here, Southold General, mm-hmm. Southold Social. But in the city, I consider myself, you know, quite a Francophile. So, you know, love, you know, the Le Bernardins, Batards, Chambers, yeah. Of the world. It's around my old haunt as well. I used to live in Tribeca. So, used to go to those places a lot.
Love it. Well, well, we're going out to a new place that you haven't been to on Monday, which I'm excited about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's in Tribeca.
It's like calling me back, you know.
Well, by the way, so here's the thing. Like, you love seafood, and this place is incredible. So it's called Holy Water. And you kind of feel like you're on a ship. You go down into these stairs. It's kind of like a secret door. And it's a really fun, really cool place. And it's we're going to have a good time. I'm excited.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay, final question. If you had to create one word or one word about who you are as a person, what would it be?
Great question. One word, I would say innovative.
Innovative. Love it. I would tend to agree with that answer. Well, listen, Paul. It's been great having you on the show. I appreciate you sticking around for the rapid fire questions. I know you're a busy guy. Appreciate you coming on, and I will see you in person very soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Awesome.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.